are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest, Jay Widener, returns. Jay is a renowned author, filmmaker, and hermetic scholar. Together with his wife, Sharon Rose, they founded Sacred Mysteries DVD Collection, which range from subjects such as The Cross of Henday and The End of Time to his most recent groundbreaking work on life after death titled Infinity. In this show, we hope to touch upon practical alchemy, Gnosticism, Sophia, and the Earth as a metadimensional being. I encourage everyone to visit Sacred Mystery Cinema at www.sacredmysterycinema.com and get one of his videos for yourself or for gifts or for family. These are decades of research, and they're beautiful, inspiring films full of wisdom and light. And for 2010, all of the books and videos are 25% off if you use the code CHRIST25. Now, I could go on telling, espousing Jay's many talents and accomplishments for the next 55 minutes, but we'd rather hear from him. So let's welcome Jay to the show now. Hi, Jay.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, Lance. I'm great. I'm glad you didn't go on with that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. In fact, I'm making them shorter and shorter.
Good.
I but don't actually like my, it. Go ahead.
My website is actually sacredmysteries.com.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, so see,
so go there and get yourself a discount
and
on these great DVDs.
Yeah, there's a couple that I want to get. I noticed I still don't have the one for Terrence McKenna and the one by John Lamb Lash on Sophia Returning. You've got
awesome.
Some fantastic stuff there.
Yeah, that Terrence McKenna one especially is actually the last thing that Terrence did before he died, and actually the last thing the director did. It was his last film too.
Wow.
And they shot it in Prague, and he actually goes into a real alchemy lab at the end of the movie, and and shows you how alchemy works, and just really a cool movie.
Well, I'm going to pick those two up myself before the end of the year, so I've made my commitment. That'll be a present to myself.
You'll enjoy it.
And also, you know, on your site, which is jwidener.com, right?
Yep.
There's just a reams of free material and esoteric articles, and some of my favorite groundbreaking work, which is the work you did with Stanley Kubrick in the moon landings.
Yeah, that's all free, all waiting there. I got a new film about Stanley coming out, hopefully, in a couple months, and I'm looking forward to getting that out. I had to stop production to start production on a feature film I'm doing. But as soon as I get done with this feature film, then I'll get back to finishing the editing on the Kubrick's Odyssey, Hidden Secrets from the Films of Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, that is going to be a wonderful movie. I can't wait to see that.
I'll send you a copy.
Good work.
Yep.
Are you going to be on any, you've been on the History Channel and all those other channels. Do you have any programs coming up too?
Yeah, in February I'm on a show called Decoded. Brad Meltzer, I think, is his name, and they're putting a lot of money into it, and they did a whole special on the Georgia Guidestones, and I flew out to Georgia and talked to them, and I think that's going to be a pretty interesting show, actually.
Oh yes, population at 500,000, right?
500 million, but yeah.
All right. That should be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, too. Your work is always on the cutting edge of what's, you know, what people don't even know yet.
Well, so, they're getting there. I'm hopeful, so.
I wouldn't be surprised to see you and Jesse Ventura team up and do a show someday.
Well, we did one on the on 2012 in the Denver airport.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah, you did.
Yeah, yeah, we
all
did.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, it was really good. And Jesse's new show on 911 is just a blockbuster. So I think it premiered last night, and it is just, I mean, this guy, you talk about courage.
Yes.
Jeez.
Yes, well, where does one find that? Is that
it's on YouTube. Just type in, I don't know, maybe Jesse Ventura 911 and maybe December 17th, 2010 or December 18th, 2010. Try to get, he's done two shows on 911. This is by far superior to the first one and really lets out a lot of information about 911 that,
wow,
you know, you and I probably know, but most people don't. So it's going
to
come as a
right,
real shock, I think, to John Q. Public and Joan Public. If they're
yes,
watching or if they care, I don't know. Maybe they're all on some kind of drugs or something nowadays and nobody knows what's going on.
Well,
I can't really
true,
explain a lot of the ignorance out there anymore.
Well, I can't either, but there's a lot of stuff in the water and the air and the
yep,
food we
attitude,
eat, so, you
that's
know.
Right. Yep.
But he did another one. Did you see the one he did on True TV for the BP, about the BP oil spill being in
Oh, my God. It was incredible. And also
my
his one on water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Involving
his one on
Jamie
water is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it just goes on. That's a must-see for people.
Yeah. In fact, the whole series is a must-see, actually.
Yeah.
Last year and this year, it's the best TV on. And kudos to Jesse for having the courage. You know,
oh, yeah.
Get it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need
I
more
wish
guys.
I could get him on the show. I think he's probably pretty busy right now. I admire him. You know, he's at the top, you know.
Definitely.
Definitely at the top.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We were going to touch upon some things that might be helpful for what's going on today. We're entering into the winter solstice and the eclipse and so on, so there's some different energies going on, and this also involves alchemy, which is the transformation of the coarse into the finer. And you know a lot more about it than I do, so I'm not even going to try to describe it, but how can that be made practical during these times when there's so much confusion and chaos and negativity?
Well, I'm probably a fool for even attempting to do this, but at this late date, and I feel compelled to try to give people an explanation for practical alchemy so they can understand that this is not some fantasy concocted by madmen in their basement with breathing too much mercury vapors, although that might be true, too. Mercury will turn your brain into Swiss cheese in about 3 minutes.
Oh,
so don't mess with mercury. But
your teeth.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, the reason I picked your show to try to do this is because, one thing, I like you and I like your style, but also your show doesn't have any ads, and I really, if I'm going to get going on this, I don't know if I can handle a break, you know, into an ad.
Oh, yeah.
So
totally
I don't even bother with most shows because I need a little time just to warm it up to get people to understand what I'm talking about.
Right.
So I'm going to start. I'm going to go as fast as I can here and try to set the groundwork for what alchemy is. All right?
All right.
All right. So just kind of let's kick back and open your mind to what I'm saying. And if you hear things that you think are pretty weird and strange, just try to skid your way through it until we get to where I'm going. All right. So we'll start out by saying that Newton and Einstein were dead wrong. Okay? And actually, Newton himself put the world on a course, a collision course with disaster, by creating his theory of gravity. Because it is not gravity that is attracting you to the earth or causing an apple to fall. In fact, it is questionable as to whether gravity exists at all. The physicists will tell you there's four forces in the universe. There's your weak and your strong nuclear forces, your electromagnetic force, and gravity. And they admit that gravity is the weakest of all the forces. Yet, with Einstein and Newton, they've concocted a whole universe which is completely governed by the weakest of the four forces. And and it is not true. And what this did was this taking a wrong turn in science has caused us to make one mistake after another until we're in the situation that we're in right now. The real truth of the matter is, and what alchemists have known for a long time, is that the universe, the world, the Earth, is actually not driven by gravitational forces. It's driven by electromagnetic forces. It's an electric universe. And the force that holds you down to Earth is electromagnetic force. Mm-hmm. And there's two aspects to this idea. One is that, and I may use the terms negative and positive, but I don't mean negative as in a bad way. I'm just as the opposite of positive to allow me to be able to explain myself. Mm-hmm. So we'll say that the Earth is a negative force, and then the space around the Earth is a positive force. And by force, I mean it has a charge. It has a quality. And the anything that's not touching the ground has this positive force, and anything that's touching the ground has a negative force. Now, some things that are touching the ground have only a negative force on the bottom part of their structure or their construct, and at the top part of their body or their construct, they have the positive force. Again, I'm not saying positive as a form of good or negative as a form of bad, only two separate forces. Mm. Okay?
Okay.
The force that causes growth is the positive force, which exists outside the externalized structure of the Earth. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the air is filled with this force that elevates and brings up from the ground, okay? Mm-hmm. And the negative force is trying to bring the positive force down into the ground. Okay. And these two forces are at work, and when they work correctly, they create life, humans, intelligence, etc.
Mm.
Now, this positive force is moving through the air, falling downwards, and when it strikes the ground, it turns into a negative force.
Hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So, this positive force causes expansion. It causes things to elongate, causes things to grow. The negative force causes things to become compact, to gain weight, to fall closer into the Earth. As you live, and when you're born, you're imbued with a lot of the positive force because you've never touched the ground. You're in your mother's womb.
Mm.
You never touch the ground. And in village life, in a lot of villages in the old days, the baby never touched the ground.
Mm.
It was just passed along from person to person or goes to the crib. And it never touches the ground.
Mm.
And it is when that baby first touches the ground that it begins a kind of a process of becoming heavy, becoming denser.
Mm.
And as we grow up, we begin to lose this positive force and gain in the negative force. And people who are old, like me, know that, you know, you get denser as you get older. It gets harder to move. You have to work twice as hard at exercise just to keep anywhere near as limber as you were. And everything is you're getting shorter. I've lost probably about 3/4 of an inch over my life here, and I don't play sports or anything. It's just natural. It's just this negative force. It's not gravity. It's this negative force, not negative as a form of bad. I wish I could. Maybe we should call it the red force and the blue force, and then it won't have any charge. So those call the earth force the green force, and the sky force the blue force, or something. Okay, so then I don't want to attach any charges to it. But as we grow older, the negative force or the green force takes over until the moment of your death when it wins the battle, and it drags you down into the earth. Okay?
Okay.
All right. That time, at the moment of death, the positive force or the spirit body leaves the negative force of the super dug into the earth body and leaves the earth because it no longer has the feet touching the ground causing it to stay here.
Oh.
Understand?
Yeah.
Okay, now, here's what alchemy is. Here's the beauty of alchemy. Now, I want to get all this out because I think they're going to censor the web here. I want to get this out as fast as I can. In alchemy, what you do, everybody listen if you can, grab your paper and pens and take notes.
Got it.
What you're doing here is you want to capture the positive force that's in the air above the ground. Okay?
Okay.
You want to somehow capture that positive force. You want to concentrate it and you want to take it to counteract the growing negative force of aging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the way that this is done, and if I would have been burned at the stake 300 years ago for saying this, but at this point, you know, it's time to get it out. The way that this happens is that you have to capture the positive force. And the way that you capture the positive force is this way. You gather up dew or rain, but preferably dew, and you gather it before it hits the ground, and you do not let it touch the ground. You gather it up in glass, and you keep the glass off the ground. You gather up a lot of dew, okay? Like 150 gallons.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, all right? You gather up the dew. And you, in some places, have more dew than others. Sometimes a year you get more dew than other times. So you have to gauge it. But you can also use rainwater because the rain, as it passes through the air, is picking up the positive element. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And so is the dew. Dew is the best because it seems to pick up more of the positive element than rain, probably because the rain is coming down so quickly.
Mm.
All right? All right. So now you've gathered up all of your dew, your water, your magic water, your alchemical water,
right.
And you begin distilling it. You begin removing the water from it.
Oh.
And you boil it very slowly, and it's going to take months to boil all of that dew down into a shot glass.
Oh.
You take the salts that are at the residual salts that are at the end of the boiling process, and you fold them back into your remaining liquid and keep boiling. Slow boil, not fast.
Okay.
And you keep folding the salts back in all the way until you've got about a shot glass.
Okay.
Okay, about 1 ounce. Okay?
All
if you
right.
keep going down and keep boiling that down, you're going to end up with a fine white powder. As long as all of this has been kept off the ground, it has nothing but a positive charge.
Wow.
Okay, when you take it, your capillary system is going to suddenly begin improving. Your heart, your cardiac system will begin improving. Blood will begin flowing up into the brain again. Your pineal gland will begin losing its calcification. Your teeth will grow back. Your hair will grow back. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And that is what alchemy is. And that is the science that has been destroyed by the church, but still exists in isolated pockets all over the earth. And with that knowledge, you could live to be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 800 years old, because the vitality of the positive force is, you know, being put into you at such a high volume. It's almost like a rebirth. It's almost like a rebirth, and there are stories going back through the alchemical lore of alchemists who take the powder and go into a dark room and literally lose their teeth, their skin, their nervous system grows back, and they come out at 16 years old.
Whoa.
Yep. And it's all based on these. And because of Newton and Einstein, our entire concept of reality has been completely warped. We think of it, you know, we're thinking of everything as being gravitationally driven, and it isn't. It's not. It's an electric universe, and you're taking a higher charge. You are a charge. You are an electrical charge, and your charge diminishes as you become grounded. That's actually the best way to describe it. And there is no solid force. There is no solidity at all in the universe. The entire universe is just electromagnetic fields interacting with each other. Oh. And you're an electromagnetic field. And the Earth is an electromagnetic field. And the tree in my front yard is an electromagnetic field. And everything that's alive has this field. And this field has this positive... imagine a donut, right?
Yeah.
A donut floating in space. And instead of the donut, the cake of the donut, you see electricity flowing around in the shape of a donut. All right?
Yeah.
And as it goes around the outside edges of the donut, this is the positive charge. And as it comes down through the top and begins falling down into the center of the donut, this is the negative charge that appears to us as weight or gravity. But really, it's just this particular tension that sits at the middle of the electromagnetic dynamic. And when you come down through the bottom of the donut, you begin losing that negative charge and coming out through the outer shell of this electric donut, torus, you become back into positive. As you age, the center of the donut grows and the outside lessens until you become all vortice, spinning vortice, until you disappear from existence. And that is alchemy. And it can't be understood by science because science has screwed up so badly with its whole thing with gravity. And so you can tell a scientist this, and they just kind of look at you like you're out of your mind.
This is
what we've lost in the last 400 years, and why we're spinning into such horror. And if we return back to this, if we can all start, you know, returning back to this kind of science and understanding, then we're all going to be here a lot longer. And if we're all here a lot longer, we're going to care a lot more about this place than we do in our short 70-year lifespan.
Right. That's right.
And this is the key to the building of a new world and the coming new age, which is about this kind of return to alchemy and to the real science of innate creativity.
Is this what you're talking about? This has been talked about throughout the ages as mana, or some people are selling various formations of ormus or white powder gold.
Yeah, well, work.
Is there anybody that's actually doing this? Let's just say that the average person isn't able to collect, to do this physically, that they aren't able to get the rainwater or the dew. Is there anybody that is doing that and distilling this and making it available, or is that way too? is that a foolish thought?
Well, I think the problem with it is that. Once you put it in a bottle, and you can't be sure that it's never going to touch the ground. So you have to be really careful about it. You can't ground it. Can never get grounded. Whoa. The white powder, the ormuz. I'm sorry, really, to tell everybody this. It's absolutely worthless, and it's actually probably dangerous.
Yeah,
you get metal poisoning from it. What I'm telling you is the right way, and those people actually have it really wrong, and they're dangerously wrong. And I don't know, I don't want to criticize anybody, but, you know, no, I don't think there is anybody. I don't think there's probably more than 100 people that even understand alchemy on the planet right now.
Wow.
So I'd be surprised. I've been waiting, though, since 2004 for someone to come out and start talking about it, and I knew that it had to happen before 2012. And as we're approaching 2011 right now, and no one's done it, I was like, okay.
You're going to be the groundbreaker.
I guess so.
And you're hearing it first here on
right
the Fireside Chat.
That's right. And this goes into this whole other thing about Sophia
and
the living entity of the earth, because, you know, without what you're really doing is we're living inside the electromagnetic egg of Sophia, or the goddess of wisdom, and she is showering down this manna on us, and we're ignoring it.
Oh.
And it's showering down on us all the time, and we live in it. And you know, people have done studies of indigenous people who live outside and don't live inside, and they can leap higher than people who live indoors, and they've always wondered why this is, why even athletes who are trained to leap can't leap as high as, like, say, the people in Australia who live outside, or the people in Africa who live outside at night.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason is because they're getting soaked by the dew.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is the key to the whole understanding of everything. And with this knowledge, you can go back and read old alchemy books, and you'll be able to follow along perfectly with what
because
they're saying.
We'll understand what they're talking about.
That's right.
Well, okay,
that's right. And there's a million ways to do it. There's, for instance, one time I was running a spiritual resort, and a giant 600-year-old oak tree, black oak tree, its branch broke. It just got so heavy, the branch broke. And for 3 days, I watched as this huge oak tree spilled out hundreds of gallons of black water from inside.
Whoa.
And I went back to the alchemy books, and there it was talking about the black water from the oak tree.
Wow.
And how valuable. And then I realized, of course, because it hadn't touched the ground. It's inside the tree, up in the top of the tree. And this is why you gather your dew when the moon is full, because the moon adds an even bigger charge to the water that you collect. Yeah, this whole thing is, once you see it and once you get it, it's very exciting. And
do you think there might be any connection between the Druids who used, one of their rites was to use silver scissors, and they would go
gold
into the oak trees and cut out the mistletoe and use it for some kind of purpose?
Absolutely. In fact, if you go into my house, you'll see on the top shelf of one of my cabinets, six mason jars filled with oak mistletoe cuttings. And you can only take it from an oak tree, and it's a gold knife, not a silver knife. And the reason it's gold is because gold has no resistance to electricity.
Oh.
Electricity passes through gold without any resistance, so you're not disrupting the electromagnetic charge. The mistletoe is one of the only plants whose roots do not go into the earth.
That's right. I've got tons of it outside my house.
I don't cut your mistletoe. That mistletoe, Susan Summers cured her breast cancer with mistletoe.
Wow.
She rejected the standard chemotherapy. This is like 12, 13 years ago. I saw her in Larry King. And she said she's injecting mistletoe extract into her cancer, and she is alive and well and playing tennis and has both of her breasts, and life is just good. And mistletoe is part of it. Mistletoe holds the charge of these things. And if you want to make the quick extract, take your mistletoe, cut it at night, get a gold blade to cut it, don't use a metal blade, and make sure it doesn't fall on the ground, very important, and take it home and cut it up and put it into mason jars, and then get 100 proof alcohol, pour it in the jar and seal the jar up and put it in the dark, and let it sit for 18 months. And every day, take a couple drops and put it in a glass of water, and you will get the positive charge.
Wow. Wow, that's terrific. I have so much mistletoe here, I could pick it for weeks. The question is, how do I get up there? But, I can figure out a way to do that.
Oh, well, it's very interesting, because if you read... if you read, say, Mystery of the Cathedrals by Fulcanelli, or you go to the Notre Dame porch where all the alchemical symbols are, the very first symbol of alchemy is the ladder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How interesting. Oh, my God.
You got to have the ladder. You got to have the ladder, even if you're gathering the dew, because you got to put the stuff, whether you used to gather, has to be up high. So it's hilarious, and people think the ladder means, it's the ladder between earth and heaven, or
right,
it's the chakras.
Right.
And it is all that, but actually, it's a ladder.
It's a ladder. That's hilarious.
I know.
Oh, my God. That is really amazing.
Well, and here's the other thing. The oak tree is super important in all of this, because... Well, my first experience with this was about 20, 25 years ago, when I was walking, hiking through a California forest, and I noticed that despite the fact that the oak tree was only about a quarter of the size of the ponderosa pines that surrounded it, the oak tree that I was looking at got struck by lightning.
Oh.
And it completely exploded, this oak tree.
Oh.
And you could actually see what it looked like almost. You could put the pieces together.
Oh.
And I asked a forest ranger why the lightning didn't strike the ponderosa pines, which are four times higher than the oak tree. And he said, I don't know, but the lightning loves to hit oak trees.
Oh.
And he said, it happens all the time out here. And I began noticing that the lightning avoided the ponderosa pines and seemed to be attracted to the oak tree. Well, that's because the oak tree is one of the hardest pieces of wood. Oak is one of the hardest woods there is, and it's filled with a crystal. Oak is literally a crystal, a network, a matrix of really tightly bound crystals.
Wow.
And it's holding this huge electromagnetic charge, the crystals are, and the lightning is naturally attracted to it. And so, therefore, if your mistletoe is growing in oak, on an oak tree, don't pick a mistletoe that grows on an apple or any other kind of tree. Only the oak tree. And you will have the second highest charged alchemical substance on earth outside of the dew.
Well, I can do that.
Yeah, I guess you can
do that, because, like I said, I was wondering how I was going to get these out of the oak tree, because they're getting so big that they're going to pull the whole tree down.
Well, I would if I was president of the world, the first law I would pass is that it's illegal to cut any mistletoe.
Wow.
Unless you're going to use it for medicinal purposes. The second thing is if you're sick, or you know somebody who's sick, get them the mistletoe extract. Get it going and get it to, especially people with cancers, people with the clogged arteries. It's an incredible wonder drug, and it's been completely suppressed. It's only really known in occult circles like Rudolf Steiner. There was an alchemist in France who actually, I may still have his site up. I haven't typed in alchemy mistletoe in a long time. But he was a Frenchman who was in his 90s, and he was writing he was an alchemical genius, and he was writing all about mistletoe and everything. And he actually got arrested and thrown in jail by the French CIA.
Wow.
Yeah.
That tells you something right there, doesn't it?
It does. And, in fact, that's why I was hoping someone else would come out with all of this.
Yeah. Well, since you have, is this written down anywhere? Are you going to document this information somewhere for general use? I mean,
yeah, I have a film coming out after the Kubrick called The Alchemy Code, in which I'm going to explain all the whole thing. There are books out there that you can get. There's a really good book called Real Alchemy, which is a really good book on practical alchemy. And there's a few others, but, you know, the thing is that it's just not very many people know about it. And
there's a lot of misunderstanding of the subject. Now,
yeah, you have to understand the electric universe first before you can understand the rest of it. And when you tell people, you know, that there's no such thing as gravity, believe me, you get a lot of people walking away from you thinking you're absolutely out of your, you know, friggin' mind.
Well, you know what makes perfect sense? Because I've always thought that Einstein's theory about light not being able to travel faster than a certain speed was ridiculous.
That
has to do with gravity. So
exactly.
Because everything is instantaneously connected. They've proven this. Quantum scientists and now I guess the next group of I think they're string theory scientists have proven that you jiggle one thing here and it's jiggling over there at precisely the same moment. So
that's because it's all electromagnetically connected.
Yeah.
So it makes, when you see this, when you understand it, you really get worried about the human race, because they are really, really studying the wrong thing and the wrong way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you know, goes into this whole thing explains a lot of things. You know, I don't know if you know who Victor Schauberger was, but he was a great German scientist, and he was a naturalist, and he spent 20 years in the Black Forest, and he was, you know, looking at a waterfall one day, and it was about a 60-foot waterfall, and he saw a salmon leap the entire waterfall.
Wow.
And he thought, well, how can that be? I mean, this fish weighed 20 pounds, it leaped 60 feet, and he struggled with it. And then another time he was watching a stream that was rushing at about 40 miles an hour in the spring, and he saw a trout stationary in the water while it was rushing by. And he thought, well, how can he stuck his stick in the water and it ripped the stick out of his hand. It was going so hard. Ooh. And he said, well, how can this fish, this trout, not be, you know, pushed back by this?
Yeah.
And he developed all these theories and things about vortices, and he was very, very close to being right. In fact, Hitler swiped a lot of his stuff and used it for the flying saucer technology. And the point is that this explanation about the forces of the positive force around the Earth and the negative forces, the grounding force, is totally explained by it totally explains the salmon and the trout.
Wow, yep. That does, doesn't it?
Well,
now, I don't want to throw a monkey wrench into the gathering of the dew theory, but we know that there are things being sprayed in the air all over the United States. The chemtrails are pretty much everyone is hurt. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people know about the chemtrail spraying program, and that there's an abnormally high content of aluminum and barium on Mount Shasta and on the Earth. Would that destroy the positive charge of the dew and all of that? How would that affect it if you were collecting those particles that sooner or later have to come down and hit the Earth?
Well, I mean, of course, it's a great question, and you should be concerned about what they're doing. And I've seen a lot of the water samples from snow samples from Mount Shasta. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And in fact, I live near Mount Shasta, by the way, just because of the mistletoe. But anyway, that being said, I assure you that whatever toxins are in the air,
yeah,
are nothing compared to this stuff. Nothing.
Okay, I gotcha.
I mean, this is the most powerful stuff in the universe.
Okay.
And it will counteract everything. It will counteract. And this is the other thing. As we go forward through the ages, through the yugas, the Earth gets what we would, you know, euphemistically say gets heavier. like Frodo's ring gets heavier as he approaches Mount Doom.
Uh-huh.
As we approach the Doom at the end of time, we get heavier, the world gets heavier.
Yeah.
And people say, well, how can gravity get heavier? You either have a specific gravity or you don't, right?
Yeah.
Well, in fact, gravity, it doesn't exist at all. It's the electromagnetic binding.
Uh-huh.
And it is what is growing. The electromagnetic core, we're losing our electromagnetic field, right? Everybody knows it. The sun is losing its electromagnetic field, right? Everybody knows it. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that it's actually lost its field. It means that the outer shell of the field, the outside of the donut, is beginning to lessen, while the inside of the donut, the vortex that exists at the inside of the electromagnetic donut, is getting stronger.
Mm.
That's what happens at death.
Okay, then, so are we talking about the death of the universe, in a sense?
We're talking about the death of an age.
Okay.
And the rebirth of another age, if we can pull it off. And the way this rebirth is going to happen is through the rediscovery of the Gnostic science of alchemy.
Wow.
And when it happens, and we will live 300-400 years old, we'll go to college till we're 150. We won't have children till we're 240.
Oh my God, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. And our children it'll take 50 years to raise a child.
Wow.
So the kid will go out into the world and be completely wise to everything.
Wow.
There'll be no more fools. There'll be no more idiots. And this is the Sophionic golden age, and it's right on the cusp. They've suppressed our knowledge now for so long. The archons have suppressed us for so long. And now, before they destroy the internet, which they're about to do, we have to get this out. It has to get it out. It has to go far and wide. People need to tell their friends. We have to get this knowledge out. And the other important thing is not just getting the knowledge out. The other important thing is to do it. Set up a place in your house. Get glass apple juice bottles or something.
Yeah.
Get a piece of tarp. Put it up on sticks in your yard. Put a rock in the center of the tarp with a little hole in it. Put the jar underneath the hole and collect the dew.
It isn't
very hard, and it isn't very expensive.
Right.
I mean, this is the revolution. All the other stuff is bunk. This is actually the real revolution, and I don't know how long they're going to let me keep going on with telling this.
Well,
so
I'd say
this
the
may
more
be the
you
last
tell
time.
It, the better. You know, the
yes.
more you tell it, the louder you get, the better chance you have of not getting stopped.
Well, the thing is right now is the reason that they may not go after anybody anymore is because the cops themselves, the secret police themselves, are so damn dumb that they don't even know what I'm saying. So they're going, this wacko, he's telling these people to collect
dude. Yeah, he's full of shit. Yeah, let him talk.
Yeah. Is he serious?
Who does he think he is? What a bunch of crap.
Well, exactly.
So that's a big advantage for us. Now, these archons, what are these interdimensional? This goes back now to Jehovah and Sophia and the creation and all that, doesn't it?
That's right, yeah. And Sophia is, the Earth is alive. That's why we have this positive force.
Right.
It's in the body of the Earth.
Yeah.
And the Earth is a sentient being named Sophia, which just means the goddess of wisdom or she who is wise.
Mm-hmm.
And Sophia came from the center of the galaxy, and she sought to prove to the other aeons, who are the beings that live in the center of the galaxy. Now, this is the most ancient myth of all, the myth of Sophia from the Gnostics.
Mm-hmm.
She decided that she was going to prove to them that she could make matter into consciousness. She could take dirt and rocks and turn them into a conscious being.
Oh,
okay. Single entity of consciousness.
Okay.
Okay, and so she created a place on the outer edges of the galaxy to do this experiment.
Okay.
And when she came down into the material world, she created kind of a splash. And the splash created beings on planets away from the Earth who had a physical being who could think, who could do things, but they lacked the superior essence of Sophia, the essence that came from the Aeon that exists at the center of the galaxy.
Oh.
And so they were extremely jealous of humans who are the synaptic, the neurons. Humans are the neurons inside the Sophionic mind.
Wow.
In other words, Sophia does not know what she looks like until she looks at herself through our eyes.
Wow.
Sophia doesn't know what she sounds like until she hears the creak tinkling through our ears.
Wow.
Sophia doesn't know what she looked like at all until Apollo 8 took that photograph of her in 1968, when she finally saw herself for the first time through our eyes. We are neurons in the mind of Sophia, and our ability to communicate, whether it's on the internet or through radio or telephone or through the voice, is the synapse of her mind.
Wow.
The transference of information from one neuron to another.
Yeah.
Right now, Sophia is gambling everything on us. And she cares about, you know, the damage that's being done to her, but what she cares about more is reaching full consciousness.
Yeah.
And the only way that she can reach full consciousness, and a lot of liberals aren't going to like this, is that she has to hit 10 billion neurons.
Wow.
And so she's working really hard and has been working really hard to get 10 billion humans on this planet. And the Archons are working really hard to make dang sure that never happens. Because the Archons are living off of Sophia like a vampire would live off of a person who's in the intensive care unit.
Right.
Drawing blood, but never letting them get healthy.
Right.
And
destroying the capacity of Sophia to live.
Anything.
In other words,
that's right.
Oil spills and wars and all these various things that are causing destruction and death to the planet and to
us. Exactly right. These are the Archons. These are the mortal enemies of mankind, of humanity. They exist totally on the weighted force. They have no ability to absorb the positive force that exists up in the air. If they do, they'll just turn into vampires. And they do, and they have tried these experiments, and they have been turned into vampires. In other words, they live a long time, but they're completely satanic and evil. And so what's going on here is right now the Earth is betting everything, her entire life, her entire being, and everything on gaining consciousness and becoming a single meta-dimensional entity. A gigantic living planet that can converse and think and plan. And it doesn't know that Sophia didn't know that there was a conspiracy to create a new world order until we found it out.
Wow.
You see?
So that's why it's so important for us to be communicating.
This is exactly
really
right.
Happened.
This is why they're going to shut down the internet, because the internet is the neurons at light speed.
Yeah.
You see, and we're beginning to figure everything out, and the politicians are starting to say, well, first off, they say that we're all really stupid. People like Bill Maher, and they tell us how stupid we are.
Yeah.
And then, and we all laugh like idiots and agree that, isn't that funny, we're really stupid?
Yeah.
And it's exactly the opposite. We're not stupid at all. We're beginning to wake up.
Right. They're the ones that are stupid.
They're the ones that are stupid. And if we can get to this last stage where we can understand the true physics of the Earth, and that we're all parts of this Gaian mind, and that alchemy is our right. It's our destiny. It's our destiny to live 700-800 years, to plant the earth back into a gigantic garden, to restore the whole thing, you know, and bring back Taoism. Because Taoism is really the original religion of Sophia, because it worshipped the way that the creek cut through the hill.
Oh,
and it worshipped, you know, and the forces coming through. And Taoism is a perfect explanation of alchemy. And, in fact, Taoism is the original alchemy. And so this is really what's going on right now. And if we can keep this thing free for another 2 or 3 years, we might actually be able to overthrow the whole thing.
Wow. Well, I'm doing whatever I can.
You are.
But now, what about the 10 billion? Does that mean literally approximately 10 billion humans on the planet? Because
that's about
7 billion.
We're about
now?
7 right now. Okay. And but you know, the New World Order has been trying to kill off the human race for 50 years, and it ain't working. You know they're scratching their heads going, what is it that we have to do? I mean, especially Africa. They've bombed them. They've given them poisons. They've given them AIDS. They've starved them. And the Africans won't die, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I just love it. And because we're not here to be the slaves of a new world order. We're here to make a living planet become conscious. We want 10 billion people. Everybody should go out and have 10 kids. I'm serious. I know you think I'm all crazy, especially the liberals are freaking out. But this is what's going on.
Wow.
And the archons have convinced us not to have any children.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's the archons who wrote the population bomb and all the other things that nothing came true in, by the way. So this is my message for this hour of your show.
Wow. Wow. Well, this is a mind-blowing show, Jay.
Good.
We're just getting started. We could go on now. But now I'm warming up. I want to go on for another hour or so because this has just opened so 1,000 doors.
Good. I hope it has.
Well, it has for me, and I sure hope that everybody listening tonight and in the future and in the future past will also see the importance of this conversation, because this was not just a conversation. This was an energetic opening. Now, since we have so little time left, all I can do is thank you for being here and have you tell people where they can find your stuff.
Well, you can go to my website, Jay Widener, JAYWEIDNER.com, or you can go look at our videos and books and our school. We have a new sacredmysteries.com, and if you go there, we have almost 300 free videos up on our YouTube channel, which just passed 200,000 views today.
Wonderful.
And and go there. If you don't have a job, you're broke, listen, there's free stuff. It's on YouTube. It's our gift to you guys, and watch it all.
Wonderful. And Jay, I want to write to you personally about the oak trees and the mistletoe, because that really hit me hard, and I need some more information about how to do that. So I might just be contacting you about the technical details on that one.
No problem. And my email is there on jaywidener.com. If you have short questions about alchemy, I'll be there to answer them. I can't answer lengthy ones to the people listening, but I'd be more than happy to answer your short questions, recommend a few books and things.
And plus, you're coming out with the Alchemy Code, right?
I am. I'm going to be explaining the whole thing.
We can't wait for that.
No, it's going to be a serious 1-2 punch. First Kubrick, then the Alchemy Code.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you let me know when those come out. I'll send them to you. All right. And anytime you want to come back before then, we can, you know, to pick up where we left off, or we can open new doors or whatever.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you so much, Jay. This was a fantastic, fantastic show. I can't believe, you know, I'm just really inspired and moved and thrilled by it.
Well, I love your show. So
I love you.
I love you too, man.
All right. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye.